In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. This morning, I bring you greetings, as I do every Sunday morning wherever I go, from your fellow Episcopalians in over 100 congregations and schools and ministries, from Jensen Beach in the north to Key West in the south. We speak many languages, come from many countries, and embody many cultures, but we are united in one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. Kate and I are delighted to be with you at St. Benedict's for our first Sunday morning. We've been here for many occasions already, most memorably for the induction of your new rector right after my own ordination in May 2015. So we both started at about the same time. How are we getting on? We managing all right? I'm assuming, since I've only been here now today, that applause was for your rector. In about 25 or 30 years, you can applaud me for the job I'm doing. You'll see me by then about the same time you've seen your rector, about the same number of times. We've celebrated also together a wonderful joint confirmation service with St. Mary Magdalene's in Coral Springs. We did that last April, and it was a great event, and those of you who were there will remember it. And I'm delighted that that tradition is developing, but we're glad at last to be able to be with you here on Sunday for worship. And what a great morning, this Feast of All Saints, to be here. And on this first formal visitation, I have some things I like to do. First, I want to acknowledge and thank publicly your rector, Father Coutier, and his wife, Ruhama, and their family. They've been such good friends to Kate and me as we have been settling in among you in our new home, and these first months would have been so much less pleasant and effective without their support, their help, and their thoughtfulness. So thank you both very much. I also want to acknowledge and support the parish staff, the wardens, the vestry, and all your leaders. To be disciples of Jesus is a real joy. But to run a church can be hard work, and I know the work that your leadership does here. This is one of the most active, energetic parishes in our diocese, and we look to you for inspiration and leadership, which you always supply so cheerfully. And another example of that leadership is the fact that just the other day, we locked ourselves in a room, took some ballots, burnt some straw, and we emerged with a new pope for the deanery. So Father Coutier will be the dean here, and it doesn't sound like a great deal, but actually an effective dean can do a great deal in a deanery to cohere the clergy, especially to keep us connected with each other. And of course, the deans are my first eyes and ears in our regions of the diocese, so I'm delighted that Father Albert is able to do that. Kate and I look forward to getting to know you all here at St. Benedict's much better as the years go by, and to becoming a real part of this community where we already feel so at home. Please continue in all the good work that you do. And please pray for your clergy and leadership and their families every day, and know that I pray for you. Today, the Church provides us the opportunity to give thanks for the saints, those people who, by their life and witness, have been particular examples to us of how we should live and follow Jesus. Many of these saints are known to us, like your patron, Saint Benedict, but many are not known, or they're known only to a few. The saints are revealed to us by God, and they are given to us as an encouragement. Every saint is first and foremost a human being, just like you and me, with the same kinds of strengths and weaknesses, advantages and challenges, joys and sorrows that you and I know. Some saints, it's true, may display... I didn't realize that you couldn't actually get away from me. I mean, normally when all you have is the preacher in the pulpit, you can look down or you can look somewhere else. That's a little scary. What I'm saying about saints does not pertain to the icon that is displayed on the wall up here behind me. Some saints display a particular virtue in a striking way, like patience or wisdom or courage or long flowing blonde hair. Not. St. Benedict's great traits were his profound focus on God and his genius in creating a framework for those who wish to live the particular gift of the monastic life. Indeed, so brilliant was St. Benedict's work that even today, 1500 years after his death, monks and nuns in our Episcopal Church and in other churches still live by the rule of life that he wrote. And not just monks and nuns. Many ordinary Christians like you and me find real inspiration still, all these years later, in his teachings and example. And his model of the abbot has become a real model for those of us who are bishops. Other saints are examples to us because of the hardships or the difficulties that they had to face in their lives. These are often the saints who can be most inspirational to us. After all, each of us faces difficult circumstances in our lives, and we need as examples those who have known life as we have known it. Everyday life can be a real challenge, and the Christian life can be hard. So the saints that know this and who have been faithful to Jesus and their Christian walk in spite of the difficulties can help us enormously. We might think, for example, of the nuns in Memphis, Tennessee, who ministered to yellow fever patients there in the 19th century and faced terrible danger in doing so. Or we can remember Mother Teresa of Calcutta, who struggled in her prayer life for so many years, just like you and I struggle in our prayer life all the time. And yet she never gave up. She never gave up, as we must never give up. The saints have one purpose, They do not live for themselves or their own spiritual achievements. They live to show Jesus to you and me and to the world. Our presiding bishop is encouraging us to understand ourselves as part of the Jesus movement. Those who are committed to living the way of Jesus that is loving, liberating, and life-giving, and who are committed to building a church and a world that reflects those qualities that we see in Jesus' own life. The saints have given themselves over to that same purpose, and their example and prayers are a real encouragement to us to take our own place in ensuring that the church and our ministry here at St. Benedict's in our Diocese of Southeast Florida are loving, liberating, and life-giving too, just as Jesus was himself. In our gospel reading today, we have one of the great manifestos of what it means to follow Jesus and to be those who are loving, liberating, and life-giving. Jesus speaks to us not from on high. Jesus speaks to us in Luke's gospel on the level. He speaks on the plain, on the level ground, clearly, straightforwardly, practically. In these Beatitudes and woes, Jesus is pretty clear what it means to be part of his loving, liberating, and life-giving movement, the Church. This is not an easy gospel passage to hear. It is full of challenge. And who would blame us if after hearing these words we wonder if we're up to being followers and imitators of Jesus at all? As Christians, we have two tasks, really. The first task is for each of us to live in such a way that we become more and more like Jesus. That's part of the good news for the Feast of All Saints. We're not called to be saints, at least in the popular definition of the term, of people who are sweet and nice and perfect and never do anything wrong. We're not called to be like those kinds of saints. Anybody here like that, by the way? I just want to check and make sure. Oh, good. At least there's honesty in the group. We're not called to be saints or like the saints. We're called to be like Jesus, and it's a great deal more difficult. This is our calling. It is our eternal destiny. And we learn to be more and more like Jesus over a lifetime. We know that sometimes we do better than at other times. Sometimes we're deeply grounded and things seem to be okay. While at other times we can surprise ourselves with how little we seem to have learnt and how little we seem to have changed. We need each other's forgiveness and support as we live our Christian lives, for we cannot grow as Christians on our own. Our second task is to ensure as best we can that the Christian community of which we are a part is also modeling who Jesus is. None of us as individuals can embody all of Jesus' qualities, but the Church can. None of us can keep all the priorities of the kingdom that Jesus describes before us all the time, but the Church can. None of us can get done even a fraction of what Jesus demands of us, but the Church can. So we're on a journey of a kind of double transformation. The transformation of ourselves as individual Christians and the transformation of this community of which we are a part, the body of Christ, doing Christ's work so that the world may know God's life and love. This is what it means to be a part of the Jesus movement that is loving, liberating, and life-giving. And the saints whom we celebrate today are the beacons of light for us along this path on which we are journeying. May Our Lady Mary, chief among the saints, Saint Benedict, our patron, the saints whose names we bear, the well-known saints, the forgotten saints, all pray for us today as we take another step on the road to a deeper life in Christ, so that we may be more effective ministers of Christ in our world. Amen.